I realized everything was kind of a little bit a weird pace this morning. I believe I gave Becky the wrong title of the sermon. I don't think it really matters, though. It is the premise in the beginning, but that's my fault. It's not Becky. Becky's like Wonder Woman. She could do anything. We should hire Becky if we could. Let's pray. Father, today we read in your word this beautiful entry, this moving of time, this fulfillment of your purposes that were before long ago, long before we were even formed. And those who recognize cry hallelujah. The suffering and the brokenness of your imagers and even creation itself would cause even the stones to cry out. For the day of redemption draws nigh. The defeat of sin and death we can see right off the bow. Come, Lord Jesus, put us in this story. For those who witness the fulfillment, the entering of your city. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read Luke's account of the entry. It's Luke 19, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles and read Luke 19. At the very end, I'm going to use a good bit of scripture, but I'm going to go so fast you may not want to try to attempt. Even if I was trying to attempt, I couldn't do it. So, but right now, if you'd like to turn along, I'm going to be reading Luke 19, and I'm going to begin at verse 28. It is the triumphal entry. Luke 19, beginning at verse 28. Hear the word of the Lord. And when Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, telling them, "Go into the village in front of you. Where you are entering, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus answered, "I tell you that if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." The very stones would cry out. You know, when I would be hubnubbing in religious circles and listening to others talk, and I don't want to get into all the details, but you would hear people debating things like, "Do you think that Jesus knew ahead of time what was happening? And was this a calculated move on his point, on his part? Was this calculated?" And what we have to understand is that every move, every circumstance, and every single situation that Jesus found himself in, I believe with all my heart, was calculated for this ultimate purpose. There is so much Old Testament prophetic words the week leading up to the crucifixion. It is amazing how Jerusalem did not even recognize their king. Last year during Palm Sunday, I preached a sermon on Palm Sunday, and it was called, "Well, who is this?" Because that's what they were saying amongst themselves. But see, Jesus, this whole thing was purposeful. And it is, even in how he approached people, healing, deliverance, brokenness, and even suffering itself. Think of it. He waited 4 days to raise Lazarus, which was the springboard to the cross. He entered Jerusalem at the time of Passover, so that the Passover itself would be totally fulfilled in the Messiah himself, even down to the Seder meal. Why all of this? Why would Jesus so willingly do what he did, knowing how difficult it must have been? Because I believe the simple answer is God is redeeming his creation through suffering and pain. He's redeeming his creation through suffering and pain. And that is why Jesus so willingly entered into the full purpose. We must never forget that his steadfast love endures forever. We must never forget that Scripture says that he died for us while we were yet still sinners. All of Scripture as a whole paints a picture of God who draws near to suffering. Time and time again, we see this. He draws near to creation's brokenness and pain. And this is why the very stones would have cried out. If we could not recognize it, even creation itself would recognize what was happening. Paul says that creation is groaning, waiting for this fulfillment. Jesus draws near to us and to creation, even in the consequences we have created, even our own choices. And boy, we could have probably an organ recital today about that. But even in the choices that we have made, even in the brokenness that we may have even created for ourselves, Jesus is still drawing near, just as he was drawing to Jerusalem for his own suffering. He suffered for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God. There is no other way. And why is that? Well, the essence of God is that he is love. And that his steadfast love endures forever. Even though his own creation is in rebellion to him. He draws so near to our own pain and suffering, in our own brokenness, to us as his imagers, and to even creation itself, he draws near to its greatest problem. And our greatest problem, beloved, is death. Something that we all will face. The last enemy to be destroyed. And when that is recognized by his imagers, and when that is recognized even by creation itself, that is why the stones would cry out. It's amazing when we, I'm not even sure we can grasp the simplicity of all this. That's almost an oxymoron. Normally you think I would say we can't grasp the complexity of this, but it is so simple, we have the most difficult time, including myself, with the simplicity of this whole purpose, of God even drawing near to us in our suffering, in our pain, and in our brokenness. Because, beloved, we serve a God who suffers with us. He suffers with us, even to a broken and rebellious creation. C.S. Lewis called this the greatest of divine miracles. Here we have a creator who forms his creation that is capable of resisting him. Because God gives us a choice. Because if he didn't, we would be puppets. God is out to win our affections. Not through power, because the God whom I serve could speak one word and everything would be made right. But he's out to win our affections through his character. That the fact that he is love in himself, and that steadfast love endures forever, that he enters into our suffering. He even enters into the dumb decisions and choices we may have made. And he makes them aright, wooing us and winning us through who he is. That is why those that recognize what God has done, God is doing, and God will do, causes us to shout in worship. Shout in worship and in adoration and love directed to him. I read something on the internet long ago. It was some little quip. I'm sure it was some stupid meme, but it was so right. It said that worship in itself is a spiritual thing. That's why the flesh doesn't want to go. And that made me I thought about that like all day long. And I thought about the times that maybe I didn't want to be in church or why others don't attend church. And the reality is the flesh doesn't want to be a part of that. The flesh has trouble recognizing who Jesus is. But those who do, those where Jesus has entered into their brokenness or their suffering, suffered right along with them, those who have touched the love of God in an intimate way will shout. And that is what strives those who recognize this to obedience at all costs, obedience even to march into suffering. Straining forward for the higher calling, as the Apostle Paul would say. And it is not, it is not because we are trying to be good or even live a moral life. Good luck with that. No, it is much greater and much simpler than this. It is the recognition of God's character towards his creation. It is the recognition that Jesus willingly chose to suffer for our sake. That is why the very stones would cry out if we fell to. We serve a God who walks with us. He spends time with us. He experiences pain and suffering with us. And for us, He suffered a horrible, horrible death. We love our vending machine, candy cane, cotton candy surfer Jesus. But the reality is, He was a suffering servant. And did you realize that Scripture calls us into His suffering, wrestling even with ourselves? The word suffering is used to describe Jesus over and over again. I'm going to read some of this, because it really doesn't matter what I say, but it matters what this says. Matthew 16:21. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. 17:21. Jesus is speaking here. I knew that didn't look right. Hear what Jesus says. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize Him, but did to Him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Luke 17. But first, He must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Luke 22:15. And Jesus said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Luke 24:26. Jesus said, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? Verse 46. And Jesus said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Acts 3:18. In Peter's sermon on Solomon's portico. Peter said, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets and His Christ would suffer, He thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore. Hebrews chapter 2, if I can get turned there. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Even in our temptation and suffering and temptation, He is there. 5, verse 8. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. 13:12. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through His own blood. Peter says that you have been called because Christ also suffered for you. And He suffered for me. can that be, Lord? But what is God's answer to pain and suffering to this broken, rebellious creation? The answer is God on a cross. For you and for me. God on a cross. You may say, how is that possible? Well, don't come asking me, because it is something too beautiful and too mysterious for even me to understand. But I know that this week is a coming, and next Sunday it's a coming, and we have the privilege of knowing, and the knowing that is Jesus is alive. This week, I want you to meditate and think about this journey that Jesus must have taken. You prepare your hearts for Holy Thursday and prepare your hearts for Good Friday. And come next Sunday rejoicing, knowing that it is finished. Today, if you're alone in your suffering, or you're alone in your brokenness, Jesus is here to enter with you. He's right here, waiting, preparing himself to enter into your suffering. The altar is open as we sing a song and meditate. If you need prayer, you just raise your hand. There's plenty of people in this room that can pray with you. And allow Jesus to enter in, so that you cry, Hosanna in the highest.